Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The text for today's sermon, the Feast of St. John, Apostle and Evangelist, are all of the lessons appointed for today. The title of today's sermon is St. John, Apostle, Evangelist, and Friend. You may be seated. The third day of Christmas, my true love sent to me. What? Three French hens, right? Many people know that song going through the 12 days of Christmas, but unfortunately, a lot of people today, they kind of put the 12 days of Christmas before the Christmas day. But really, it begins with the 25th as we go through all of those days. And in that song, you know, this person has a lot going on. There's a house filled with drummers drumming, ladies dancing, partridges and pear trees. But in the church calendar, as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, we also have a lot of celebrations as well during these 12 days of Christmas. And today, the third day of Christmas, is the feast day for St. John. Like many of these great heroes from the Bible, there is so much that can be said about them. But John, in particular, has been very much honored and respected through church history. You don't have to look any further for evidence than look at how many boys, when they're born, have been named John. It is such a common name throughout Western history. So many people have been named after this apostle John. So who was John? Well, he was a fisherman. That was his profession before he left that behind to follow Jesus. And many times when we talk about the disciples, and many of them were fishermen or were believed to be fishermen, some we know specifically were, others church tradition is that they were fishermen as well. We think of fishermen today, don't we? A guy, you know, sitting out on the bank of a river or a pond with a fishing pole, or maybe going out in a John boat on the lake. But these were fairly large-scale operations, these fishing business at the time. This was one of the main staples of people's diet, was fishing. And we know from the Bible that actually John's fishing business was a fairly large scale. You know, it would be a fairly big, small business, because the Bible gives us clues to that, and that, first of all, this was a family business, as often was, that professions were passed down to the family. He was taught by his father to be a fisherman. And also, it tells us that they had servants. They basically had people working for them in this business. And apparently, the business was successful enough because the Bible also tells us that they had a second home. His family had a home in Jerusalem. So when they would go to Jerusalem for the feast days, they had a place to stay. And the Bible even tells us that John himself was an acquaintance of the high priest of Israel. So far from just being some random guy sitting there, this was a fairly large-scale operation, we would see from the scripture. So it would not be just an easy thing to leave behind. But that's exactly what John did. When Jesus called him, he left the family business and became a follower of Jesus. And John, of course, was part of that inner circle of disciples, along with Peter and John's brother, James. Most important, however, is the strong witness of John. The witness to Jesus as the Word made flesh, God with us in person. And it's very appropriate, isn't it, that his feast day is in the Christmas season. Because if you've been to some of our other services and watched them, you see every year this text from John, John 1, is a focal point of the Christmas season, because he tells us there that the Word has come, the Word has been made flesh, is dwelling among us, and this Word, which is Jesus, will save us from sin. And even in that setting one liturgy, we see there are several passages from John that are a prominent part of that liturgy. John also would have a big role in the New Testament, wouldn't he? Because of the 27 books in the New Testament, John authors 5 of them under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Of course, we all know about the Gospel of John, the Gospel that bears his name. There's also 3 letters, 2 of them very short, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. And then, of course, the very last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. And we heard our scripture readings this morning from three of those five books authored by John. John is also unique, as it alluded to in the gospel lesson, that he is the only one of the 12 disciples that would die a natural death, that would basically die of old age. All of the other disciples would be martyred for the faith, except for John. So that is why our pigments remain white today, because if it was any of the other disciples, they would be red, as the color for martyrs of the church is red, representing blood. But with John, he lived to be about 100 years old. He lived to a very old age. So on this third day of Christmas, we faithfully observe the feast of St. John, apostle, evangelist, friend of Jesus. And in all of these titles, we find teaching, we find an example for us as Christians today. So let's start with apostle. Now, what is an apostle? Well, just to review that, remember, an apostle literally means a sent out one, one that is sent out on a mission. Now, we read in the Gospels that at times, Jesus would send out his 12 disciples to do ministry, to heal, and to cast out demons. And in doing this, what he was doing was training them to be not only disciples, but to be apostles. After he would ascend, they would be the ones that would go out in his name and spread his message. So a disciple is one who listens to their teacher. They take in what the teacher is teaching them. They learn it. But an apostle is one who goes out and applies that, who spreads that message and lives that out in their life. We also see John in the book of Acts. We see him a number of times, and they are doing ministry. And we see him with Peter in Jerusalem before the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law. And St. Luke writes in Acts that they were both teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And when they are forbidden from doing this, they respond, "We cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And they keep on speaking and speaking. Later in the book of Acts, in chapter 8, we find John and Peter traveling to Samaria to share the excitement of the Holy Spirit's work there. The church history, the history of the church, also finds John in a number of places throughout his life. Now, as I said, John was the only apostle to not die a martyr's death, but that doesn't mean he didn't face persecution. And in fact, AD 95, late in his life, finds him exiled at Patmos, being persecuted for the faith. And it's on this Greek island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea that God revealed the words for the book of Revelation to St. John. Now, finally, at the end of his life, church history is that he was in Ephesus, one of the major cities of the world at the time, and he served as a pastor there late in his life. And some of the writings talk about that he became so old and frail that he couldn't even stand up and preach. So what he would do is they would have a chair, and he would sit in the chair and preach to the congregation. And he would often speak these words in his sermon that we read in our text as well. "Little children, love one another." He addressed the brothers as little children, and he taught them to love one another. So wherever he went, John was an apostle. He was a faithful witness to and worker for the Lord. Now, by our baptism, we are also called to be faithful witnesses and workers for the Lord. We know the blessed work to which we've been summoned. But we also find ourselves not always living up to that baptismal calling, don't we? Either we go off in the wrong direction, or we just don't do anything at all in response to the Lord's presence in our lives. Now, John, for all of the great things that I just pointed out in the sermon, he, like all of the other saints, he was a sinner as well, wasn't he? And John also had his failings. In fact, Jesus had an interesting nickname for John and his brother James. And that nickname was Boanerges, which is translated into English, it means the sons of thunder. Now that may be kind of a cool nickname if Jesus gave you the nickname son of thunder. But why did he call them that? Because they were known to be very kind of outspoken and sometimes overzealous in their young age. You might remember that one time in the Bible where Jesus was not being welcomed as much as they thought. And it was James and John, these sons of thunder, said, Lord, should we call down fire from heaven and just, you know, wipe out these towns? And the Lord, of course, has to rebuke them and uses patience in that case. Well, then, there's in Mark's gospel where it talks about where John and some of the other disciples, they are trying to stop other people from ministering in Jesus' name, because they were not part of the 12, so they couldn't be out speaking of Jesus. But again, Jesus had to rein John in and say, no, if they are speaking the gospel message, if they are preaching my message, then let them do that. We also see John had a competitive streak. He's a little overzealous in that, the sons of thunder as well. And remember, the disciples are always jockeying for position amongst themselves. And there's that interesting account where maybe John got this from his mother, because his mother actually goes to Jesus and basically is advocating for James and John to get better positions in the 12 disciples. Well, we also find ourselves a little bit disappointed in John, because the Bible tells us that on that night when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was arrested, what did John do and the other disciples? They fell asleep. They fell asleep at this critical hour. So John was not always a great disciple. Yet in the words of John himself, he is the disciple whom Jesus loved. And he makes it very clear in the gospel lesson that that's who that is referring to. He's referring to himself in the third person there, basically, as the disciple whom Jesus loved. So we also see in John repentance. We see the Lord working change in his life. And John, that son of thunder who wants to call down fire on these towns, he, in his later life, he becomes known as the apostle of love, of mercy. So the Lord worked a great change and growth in his life. So maybe it's a good idea. Maybe it's a good idea that John's day also not only comes so close to Christmas, but it comes so close to our new year, the beginning of our new year, which will be this week. Oftentimes people make resolutions at the end of the new year. Maybe you do that. Perhaps this year we're just kind of hoping that this year will end and we can turn the page to start 2020 and see what that holds. But if you do make resolutions this year, I would encourage you that those resolutions should be carried forth in the power of the Spirit, that they should focus us on living as full servants of Jesus Christ, and even as his evangelists. And that's the second title. That's the second title given to St. John as evangelist. He's an apostle, and he's an evangelist. Of course, he's one of only four that God chooses to record basically the biography of Jesus, the words and the deeds of Jesus in the gospel. And I started out talking about that 12 Days of Christmas song, but did you know that each of the four gospel writers has an animal symbol associated with them? And John's is a bird. Now, it's not a French hen, though. It's not a French hen. But does anyone know what bird is the symbol of St. John? It's not a French hen. What is it? It is the... Good guess. Good guess. It's not a duck. It's the eagle. The eagle is the symbol of St. John. Now, some say that's because his words have such a beauty and divine loftiness to them. They carry us as an eagle closer to the heavens. But John does lift and proclaim the message of Jesus. John chapter 20, verse 31, he actually gives us the purpose of the gospel. But these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing ye may have life through his name. That is the purpose of the Gospels, that people would hear of Jesus and that they would believe, and they too would become believers and disciples, followers of Jesus. And not only did these little children, as John addressed them in 1 John chapter 2, who received the first letter, find encouragement in these words, but 19 centuries later, so are we. And encouragement, speaking of encouragement, that's certainly a key theme of the book of Revelation. And we learned that when we studied Revelation, what, a year and a half ago or so. Sometimes we don't think of Revelation as encouraging. Maybe it's a little scary, but the message of Revelation is encouraging. It is that God is with us through anything that may come. God is with us, and he will preserve his people. And in those opening verses of the book of Revelation, which we heard read earlier, John makes it very clear that this is a message. It was delivered by an angel of God who witnesses to Christ, the Christ who has saved us and rules as eternal king, and who will come again with glory on the last day. So again, with that eagle, what John does in the book of Revelation is he gives us an eagle-eye view and visions into heaven. And of course, that grand book concludes with this eagle-eye view of the heavenly New Jerusalem. And John gives us this beautiful vision that he received. He records that for us because this is our eternal dwelling place. And that hymn of the day, by all your saints in warfare, the hymn writer Horatio Nelson penned these words, and we sang them minutes ago. For your beloved disciple exiled to Patmos shore, and for his faithful record we praise you evermore. Praise for the mystic vision through him to us revealed. May we in patience waiting with your elect be sealed. And through the pages of his gospel, John the Evangelist helps us to see the glory of the Word made flesh. He includes many lofty teachings of Jesus that you don't find in the other Gospels. A focus of John's Gospels, he gives us such a detailed record of the teachings of Jesus. These teachings bring us to good news. The good news of God's arrival in Jesus Christ. Teaching us as the Psalm said, verse 7 of Psalm 11, for the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. And of course, John knew his limitations. In today's gospel, we hear him close with these words. Now, there were also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. So John knew that he couldn't write everything. But he knew that he would write the things that God, by God the Holy Spirit, would inspire him to write. So he did not let this limitation stop him from sharing something. Something very important. And this too is an example for us. Because sometimes we think that we cannot write or say the things fully that God wants everyone to know. So when that opportunity comes to share Christ with someone, we remain silent because we're afraid, well, maybe we won't say the right thing or we won't say enough. Or you see that post on social media and you can comment with a Bible verse or some type of Christian insertion and you don't do it because, oh, I might just not say enough or I might not say it right. But year by year, week by week, we are blessed by the word that God gave through John. And year by year, week by week, we have those opportunities to share the word. And like John, we should not let our limitations, where we might think, well, I won't say everything that needs to be said, stop us from saying something. We should speak the word of God, because God, the Holy Spirit, will give us the things that he wants us to say. So today is the day of St. John, but it's also our day. It's our day to be evangelists and friends of Jesus. Now that's the third title. And final title we want to look at today, and that is friend. Now, on the liturgical calendar for this day, it says St. John, Apostle and Evangelist. But I like to add that third title as well, of friend. Because in the pages of Scripture, we discover that John is a true friend of Jesus. Jesus is the friend of sinners, and John knew how much Jesus loved him. He tried to reflect that love by being a friend. Now, very likely, John and Jesus were cousins because John's mother is named as Salome. And this is very likely the same Salome who is named as the sister of Jesus' mother, Mary. So this would make them cousins. It would also make them about the same age, growing up in the same region. They probably shared childhood experiences and memories even before John was called to be one of Jesus' disciples. And I've thought on several occasions when this family had a get together. Wasn't that incredible? Wouldn't it be great to be kind of a fly on the wall at some of these family gatherings? when they got together for the feasts in Jerusalem and other times. You've got the cousins there, Jesus, John, and John the Baptist. Of course, you have Mary and Joseph, and then Salome and Zebedee. What a family gathering that would be. And John, he's often there at special times in Jesus' ministry when not all of the 12 are there. Remember the Mount of Transfiguration? It's Peter, James, and John only that are taken up on that mountain with Jesus. And even some of what we might see as little tasks, but they were important to God's mission. Remember when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday? He needed a donkey. And who got sent to find the donkey? Well, of course, that was Peter and John. And then that later that week, they would celebrate the Passover feast. And at this Passover, the Lord's Supper would be instituted. And who was chosen to get everything ready for the Passover feast? Well, it was John. And then, when Jesus is arrested, the disciples scatter in fear. But we do see John. John is in the high priest's courtyard. Remember, he was an acquaintance of the high priest, the Bible tells us. And then, when Jesus was crucified on the cross, the Bible tells us only of one of the 12 that is there along with the faithful women. It's interesting as well, you have the faithful women there at the cross, the men have scattered in fear. But there is one of the disciples there. Of course, that is John, who is there. And Jesus speaks 7 times from the cross that are recorded in Scripture. And of course, one of the things that Jesus says, he speaks to John. His mother Mary is there, and John is there. He says to John, "Behold your mother." John himself writes, "From that hour the disciple took her into his home." So of all of the disciples, it was John who Jesus spoke to from the cross, saying, "You will make sure that Mary is taken care of." Very special honor, indeed. So John is a friend of Jesus. He's willing to do the Lord's bidding. John is the kind of friend that stays close to the Master, who finds blessing and loving service to the one who first loved him. John's example is one for us to follow. A title of great honor is to be known as Jesus' friends. And John himself writes in his Gospel, chapter 15, that we are called friends of Jesus. In the very last part of John's Gospel, he tells us of some of the appearances of Jesus after his resurrection. And you might remember this one, that one early morning, the disciples, well, they had gone back to fishing. They were out fishing, and they hear someone call to them from the shore. First one to recognize that this is Jesus is John. And he tells it in his gospel. He says, "The disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.'" He heard a voice that he knew, and he responded to it. John knew that Jesus was his Lord and his friend. And in sharing that his Lord and friend, John became the person that we know and that we celebrate as apostle and evangelist. John clearly confessed his faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. He proclaims him as true God and true man, the Son of God. That's very clear in John's Gospel, the portrait of Jesus as the Son of God. He is the one who will return on the last day and set all things right. Verse 24 says that he will bear witness to these things, that the testimony is true. The words are ours as well when we recognize Jesus coming to us in word and sacrament. So may this third day of Christmas inspire us to follow the example of John, apostle, evangelist, and friend, leading us in our own ways to be his workers, the sharers of his message, friends of and for Jesus. The peace of God passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.